May it please the Court, I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Bunny, to request that the Court reverse the District Court's grant of summary judgment, remand this matter for trial on the merits. There are numerous errors in the District Court's decision. I'd like to address principally, number one, there is more than adequate evidence in the record to support a jury's conclusion that Mr. Bunny was fired due to a recognized disability under the Americans with Disabilities Act. There was also more than adequate evidence to support a reasonable jury's conclusion that a workplace rule was not the basis of the Forest Preserve's decision to fire Mr. Bunny. Either the workplace rule that the District Court rummaged around in the record and grabbed a hold of, but was never advanced by the Forest Preserve, nor the workplace rule that was for the first time enunciated during summary judgment.
What workplace rules are those?
The workplace rule that the District Court grabbed a hold of, but was never advanced at any time during the proceedings, as an explanation as to why the Forest Preserve fired Mr. Bunny, was he violated a federal, state, or local law. In fact, as of the date of his termination on June 7th, there was no such determination, and it was never articulated by the employer at any time as a reason, either a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for his termination, nor as the reason that they fired him in contrast or to defeat Buddy's proof on a third element that he was fired, the substantial basis for his termination was his disability. The reasons advanced by the Forest Preserve for Buddy's termination are found in Exhibit 6 in support of the summary judgment. It was a letter that they handed to him on June 7th. That letter nowhere describes a workplace rule. It says the factors included a pattern of errors of judgment on his part, his inability to perform his duties, and due to the suspension of his driving privileges and engaging in conduct that was below the position. There's no mention of a workplace rule. Under those circumstances, Buddy meets the test, according to the District Court, that he was disabled based on alcoholism. He meets the next element, that he was qualified to perform his duties and meeting his employer's expectations based on the performance evaluation in December 2004, which was several months before he was fired. He meets the criteria that he was a qualified individual. The District Court erred in its analysis of that factor. It conflated the question of qualified with a workplace rule issue, which goes to the question of the Forest Preserve's mental state. He was qualified because, according to this circuit's case law, qualified is determined based on was he able to perform his essential functions? And the answer to that was yes.
No, he couldn't drive, right, with a suspended license.
But that was not an essential function of his job.
Well, he said so later, even though in the written or that he wrote, that was an essential job function.
No. He did not have to drive in his job description. The only job...
Why did he have a car 24-7?
He had a car that drove him back and forth to work. He did not have to drive for his duties. What we have described in our brief on appeal goes through the fact that he had an administrative job. The only job description that the that we believe...
Chief of police?
He was chief of police.
Only an administrative job?
He was in a Forest Preserve district.
Wherever he was, chief of police has got more than an administrative job.
Well, his duties, as described in his job description at the date of his termination, were administrative in nature and had no requirement that he have a valid driver's license under Illinois law.
Doesn't the chief set the example for the rest of the police?
Well, I would agree with that, Judge, but I don't think...
And their rules require them to comply with the law, not to be drunk, crashing into cars, injuring people.
The question, well, he wasn't driving the district's car. The question is, was he fired for those reasons or was he fired based on his disability? And we believe in the record, based on what preceded his termination for over a year, that the park district believed that he was an alcoholic.
Didn't he acknowledge
and
that?
And fired him for that reason.
Well, I thought, where did it come out that for 43 years he was basically a functioning alcoholic?
For a year, for the park district
perceived. 43 years.
Well, that was an affidavit that was describing his own activity. But in the record, what the evidence shows is that the park district or the Forest Preserve District believed he was and perceived him to be an alcoholic beginning at least in May of 2004 when they began to conduct administrative inquiries into his use of alcohol.
Is that after the wreck?
No. It was a year before he was fired.
Okay.
That was May 2004. They conduct an administrative inquiry into his drinking, his use of alcohol on the job, his belief, and their perception that he was an alcoholic. They then conduct another inquiry in February of 2005, where they are following him home from work. That's what the evidence in the record showed. This is before his accident, before he was fired. And they are addressing the question and their perception that he was an alcoholic and he was not able to perform the duties of his function. Those facts should go to a jury. That's Mr. Buddy's position. A jury should decide if that's the mental state of the Forest Preserve District at the time they fire him on June 7th and advance the reasons that they did in the letter of termination on June 7th, none of which involve a violation of any workplace rule. Did the Forest Preserve District fire him because he was disabled, alcoholism? Or, as they contend, did they fire him because he couldn't perform his essential functions and because he was not performing his essential functions and or some workplace rule which was never articulated? I see that my... I'm moving into my rebuttal time. What I would simply like to say before I move off the podium is that on all of the explanations advanced by the Forest Preserve District, there is more than adequate questions of fact to show that they are pretext. None of them were articulated at the time that Buddy was fired.
Thank you. Mr. James.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Greg James, together with my partners Devlin Scope and Lori Weiner. I have the privilege of representing the Kane County Forest Preserve District. Your Honors, you know Charles Buddy was the defendant's police chief, and that notwithstanding that he was a law enforcement officer, that he drank to excess at the local Moose Lodge. And then he chose to drive, although he was very intoxicated. And he rear-ended another vehicle, sending its passengers to the hospital. His vehicle was found not where the accident occurred, not where the wreck occurred, but three blocks away. Then Chief Buddy, when the police got out there, refused a breathalyzer test, resulting in an automatic summary suspension of his driving privileges. Clearly, Chief Buddy engaged in a pattern of errors of judgment, as stated in his termination letter. Clearly, Chief Buddy's duties included being able to lawfully drive his assigned squad car, at least in his boss's view. And clearly, Chief Buddy's drunk driving incident constituted conduct below the standard expected of someone holding the position of Chief of Police. Those were the three reasons stated in the termination letter. These are the facts, and they are undisputed.
Now, there's apparently some local publicity sprang up from this, too, and brought to the public's attention. Is that a factor? Is that a legitimate factor to concern about the public perception of his capacity?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that absolutely it is. We as citizens, we have a right to expect the highest standards of conduct from our governmental officials, and that applies at least as much to police chiefs as it would to any other high-ranking governmental official. Minimally, the public can expect that they're going to follow the law.
Does the Forest Preserve enforce drunk driving laws within the roads that they're responsible for?
Your Honor, that is not in the record, but it is my belief that they do. Your Honors, upon assuming this position of Chief of Police, Chief Buddy himself authored General Order 92-09. At the very top of that document, it lists essential functions. Bullet point number one, essential function number one is operate an automobile. Also among those essential functions, it says that the Chief of Police has to be able to fire a firearm with both his left and his right hand. Hardly an administrative position. And as the court has observed, he did have a car assigned to him 24/7. Plaintiff submitted a post-deposition declaration in this case, and it was created in an attempt to stave off summary judgment. In paragraph 1, he admits that this was his position description. And in paragraph 6 of that very same declaration, Chief Buddy claims it was rare for him to have to drive alone to respond to the scene of an emergency, but he admits that at times he was called upon to do so. Notwithstanding Chief Buddy's semantics, for a police chief to lawfully operate his squad car requires more than perhaps what a 10-year-old could do from watching his parents or her parents, getting in the car, turning over the ignition, and putting it in gear. For a police chief or anybody to lawfully operate a vehicle, they have to have a driver's license. And here Chief Buddy did not, and that was a result of his misconduct. Chief Buddy argues that nowhere in the record and nowhere did the district advance the argument that Chief Buddy broke the law. Examination of the record will show otherwise, because it's in our memorandum of law in support of our motion for summary judgment. I reread it again last night, and it's in there. It's not simply something that the judge grasped at straws and searched around for some work rule that might possibly apply. It's in the record.
What did the fact that he was an alcoholic, how did that enter into the picture as far as the decision?
Your Honor, the fact that he was an alcoholic really has no bearing on the decision. Because in this case, he was guilty of misconduct, and it's the misconduct that led to his termination. Indeed, the three reasons advanced in that termination letter, you know, Chief Buddy says, nowhere in the record does it say why he fired him, and there's no proof of this. Well, it's right there in the termination letter. And all of those factors, the errors in judgment, not living up to his job, and not being able to perform his job, that all relates directly to his misconduct. And this court has held unwaveringly, repeatedly, that there is no obligation to accommodate misconduct.
You see, if that misconduct was, we'll say logically, if not obviously, a direct result of the alcoholism, would that change anything about the misconduct?
It would not, Your Honor, and that's so under a number of the court's precedents, including the DeSpears case and the Pernis case, both, where this court has recognized that even alcoholics can make a decision not to drive. All alcoholics do not get DUIs, and it's not some compulsion that cannot be resisted. This is not a case where Chief Buddy came in before his misconduct and asked for some accommodation. There's nothing in the record to support that. There's nothing in the record to support that before his misconduct, he came in and said, you know what, I'm an alcoholic, I want to get sober, can you allow me not to drive for a while, or can you place me on leave, or anything like that. That would be a different case, but it's not this case, Your Honor. Respectfully, I do believe that Judge Pallmeyer got it right in this case. Plaintiff's mere speculation that, you know, the district might have had some ill motive, that is not enough to prove pretext. And here plaintiff's case fails in numerous respects. Didn't meet his prima facie case, did not prove that he was a qualified individual with a disability, because to be qualified to be the police chief, you had to be able to drive the squad car assigned to you 24/7, where you would, from time to time, have to go to respond to an emergency alone. So he did not prove that he was qualified. Further, he's a lawbreaker. A lawbreaker is not qualified to do the job of being a police chief. And whatever his performance reviews said prior to his misconduct it really doesn't matter because it's the misconduct that led to his termination. That's what this case is about. It's not about his prior years of service. It's not about whether he had done a good job in the past, and it's not about his prior performance reviews. It's about what he did in March of 2005.
I assume the fact that his car was found three blocks away, he wasn't charged with leaving the scene or something.
He was not. Again, Your Honor, I don't know whether that particular fact's in the record, but he was not charged with leaving the scene. The plaintiff, Chief Buddy, did not prove that he was living up to the district's legitimate job requirements. Okay? Any governmental employer, any employer, can expect that its employees are not going to violate the law. Particularly true in the case of a police chief who has to set the example, who is, as Chief Buddy acknowledged he was, an ambassador for the district.
The other district employees who had DUIs that are referred to, Parkhurst and Burbridge, were they the employees of the police department or some other aspect of the Forest Preserve?
Your Honor, thank you for asking that question. Those two persons are held out by Chief Buddy to be comparators. They truly are not comparators. To be similarly situated, among other things, you have to have the same job or somewhat close to the same job, not even close. Chief Buddy was the chief of police. Neither Burbridge nor Parkhurst held positions like that. Parkhurst was an area assistant area manager who performed maintenance duties, not police functions. And Burbridge was a ranger responsible for park maintenance. He was not the police chief, did not perform police work. They did not report to the same supervisor.
He provided maintenance to the forest or cleaned it up, ranger?
That is correct, Your Honor. He was the head ranger who was responsible for park maintenance. Burbridge was, not the chief. Burbridge was alleged comparator.
I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
But he was a ranger as a police officer, isn't he?
This was not a ranger in the sense of being a police officer. I understand what Your Honor is saying. Many parks, they call their police officers park rangers. Yes, Your Honor. This particular person did not perform police work. He was not a member of the district's police force. What's more, those comparators. Thank you, Your Honor. Those comparators, they actually support the district's case. Remember that in the case of these folks, they could drive to do their jobs. And the one gentleman, Burbridge, we bought a special truck for him so that he could drive with one arm. We're hardly discriminators. Your Honors, I see I'm out of time. Thank you very much.
2.5 minutes.
Thank you, Judge. As to the comparators, they actually have multiple roles factually in this record. If you're looking at the question is whether workplace rules were universally enforced, this rule that the judge elected to grab, they show that they were not universally enforced. Parkhurst was hired with a known DUI and was accommodated with respect to her ability to get back and forth to work, the nature of the accommodation that Buddy asked for. The person who hired her was in the same position as the person who hired and fired Buddy.
What was her job?
Her job was to drive through the park forest, and she was actually driving large trucks to various locations, delivering equipment. She assisted with maintenance.
She was not enforcing the laws. She was just delivering stuff.
No, she wasn't enforcing the laws. Similarly, with respect to Burbridge was hired with a DUI, and he was one of his chief functions, unlike Buddy's, was to have a valid driver's license, and he was hired nevertheless. He was given a Class C license with their assistance. He drove.
He had a valid driver's license.
He didn't. He had actually a revoke license, but he never did.
Oh, wait.
And he got.
Wait, what was he driving with?
He was driving on a grant from the state that permitted
That's a driver's license.
To drive for work, right. Buddy could have.
A driver's license, but nevertheless a valid driver's
license. A revoked, yes. And Buddy could have obtained that as well. So these individuals are.
I mean, he might have been able to. he could apply for it.
He could apply. He needed the park district's or the Forest Preserve District's assistance. The employer has to participate in that application to the state.
He wasn't working for him, so they couldn't participate.
He was when he asked for the accommodation. He asked multiple times for an accommodation. He was working for them. They denied it. There is no evidence in the record, evidence that would go to a jury concerning the accident. Everything that was argued to you by the Forest Preserve right here and in their briefs is the subject of newspaper articles. This is not evidence. There is no record of any of the items that would have gone before a jury. I don't know how they're going to get it in, but their view as to what happened and their testimony as to what happened in the briefs before you is all hearsay, and it's inadmissible hearsay. There is no mere speculation on the pretext. I think we've articulated numerous ways in which the Park District has shifted its position throughout this process in explaining why they were firing him or why he couldn't do his jobs. And let me just ask one quick question. I see my time is up. In response to Judge Mannion's question, does it make a difference whether his disability contributed to his conduct, which in turn was conduct that resulted, if there's evidence to support misconduct, causes termination, which we dispute? In this circuit, the answer would be no, if the real reason was disability. In other circuits, the answer is no, under almost all circumstances. So there does seem to be a merging conflict within the circuits on that particular question that you posed. I think the first and the second, or the second and the third, take a different position from the seventh.
Thank you.